Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello and good evening. I'm Beverly Bramwell and you're listening to Embrace Your Ambition. That's my radio show, and tonight we're going to be talking about, are you afraid to speak up at work, and what's that doing for you? What's that costing you? Before we go any further, a bit about me. I'm an advocate for women, but not exclusively, to live their best life, because that's all we have right now, today. If you're a US and want to get in touch with the show, you can call the studio on 646 716 7979. And if you're listening outside of the US, please message me on my page, Beverly Bramwell, www.facebook.com/BevBramwell. But on with the show, because there's so much I want to talk about tonight. Are you afraid to speak up at work? So, do you speak up at meetings, or do you wait to be picked? Are you hoping someone will notice you and say, please, please say something? Are you too busy rehearsing what you should say because you're afraid you'll look or sound foolish? And what I will say is, what is foolish thought you're putting into this action that you're afraid to take? It doesn't make any sense to me. I know your contribution is valid and just as important as anybody else around that table. Who will know? And that's the problem, because we're spending too much time rehearsing and being in our heads and procrastinating and worrying about what will they think? What am I saying? Is this right? And we're so caught up in the getting it right that before you know what, the moment has passed in the meeting when we should have spoken. And really, your emphasis should be on, I must say this, I must get my point across, I must challenge what's just been said, and less about, oh my God, I'm going to look foolish, because really, is that true? And so what if you did? If this is true, still say what you've got to say. And I think, what's happening for a lot of us, and I'm not, you know, immune to this also, the thoughts that we start running in our heads about a situation, and we start joining the dots to the thoughts. And remember, these thoughts aren't even real, but we're joining dots, we're making sense, or so we believe, and then we're judging ourselves and judging situations based on these thoughts, which, when we're honest, are probably irrational and imaginary. And the dots that we're joining are ones that we have created. And before you know what, we're in a place of, I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't tell them what I think, because many of you who are listening to this show will have heard me in the last couple of weeks talk about the fact that now is our time. Too much has happened in the world, in my own world, that I've seen that people's lives have been cut short. And so rather than living in the future and planning for then, and I say there's nothing wrong with that, I want us to live in the now, right now. And so that's why I'm saying, let's talk about what you're doing now, today, this week, that perhaps is holding you back. How many of you lead projects or have been asked to lead a project or lead a meeting? How did you feel about that? Did you say, yep, great, thanks very much, I can't wait for the opportunity? Or did you go, oh my, and go into your head and start listing mentally 101 reasons why you can't, why you really can't do this, why you're not the one to do this? And maybe you may not have said no, because maybe no wasn't an option, but what you have done is in some way sabotage yourself. So that therefore, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see, I told you I couldn't lead a project. Look what happened. And I'm not saying it couldn't have happened and it might not have happened, the whatever it was. But what I'm saying is you didn't give yourself the best chance. And one of the things I'm really clear about is that we need to be ready to take imperfect action. We may not be ready. We may not have all the answers, but you know what? We're going to do it anyway. Because waiting until you feel ready is not the way to go. Because what if you never feel ready? And what if you're believing these unreliable thoughts that are running your life and running my life and telling us we can't do stuff? If I believed my thoughts, I wouldn't be talking to you tonight because I wouldn't be on a radio show. I believe I couldn't talk for more than 5 minutes and I had nothing to say and nobody's interested anyway, so why do it? But I took imperfect action and I just did it. I don't know if any of my shows are good. I like to think they are. People have told me they are. However, what's important is I got out there. And the more I do it, the more comfortable I become with it. And I like to think the better I've become at it. Also, I know that I'm not perfect. And I know that all the other people who are on this station are not perfect. So if I can accept that I'm not perfect and you can accept you're not perfect, then we can start from that place. And if you heard my show about 3 weeks back when I had my guest, Emma, we talked about radical self-acceptance. And I think for the rest of the time I'm going to be on the radio, I'm always going to be talking about radical self-acceptance because I think until you can get comfortable with who you are in every sense of the word, that's what holds you back. Regardless of what we're going to talk about, that's the key. I am flawed, you are flawed. So what? Everybody's flawed. Knowing that, accepting that, that's your starting point for everything. So, if you're not perfect and you're all right with it, what could you start to do? Knowing that I'm okay, I like myself, and I may not always get it right, but I'll give it a damn good go. And furthermore, if it goes wrong, I will handle the situation. Not only could I start, but how far could I go? And all those things that I'm not doing because I'm not ready, because I'm not perfect, because I haven't lost the amount of weight, because I'm not the right color, the right age, whatever it is that I think is important. And I decide that, you know what, in spite of all that, I'm going to go for it. What is now possible? What do you believe is now possible for you? What could be possible for you? And that's what I want you to hold on to. What could be possible for you? And I hope that if you're with me on this, that you might start to see a picture appearing. A picture of you in action, doing whatever it is you think you cannot do. So, let's start with the first point I want to talk about on the show about why hiding out is holding you back. When you don't put your hand up or step forward, it doesn't just harm your career, it harms your position because no one can see you. But also, it harms you personally because I think that unless you live high, doing at work, you're probably doing at home in your personal life. And if at work nobody can see you, or they don't really know anything about you, what do they have to go on? And frankly, do you want people to know about you from secondhand information, from someone else hopefully saying something positive about you? And we all know that's a high-risk strategy because somebody might not say something positive about you. So don't you think you owe it to yourself to take charge of your own future? Because, come on, you're worth more than this. We're all worth more than this. I know many of us as women have been raised to believe that nice girls don't push themselves forward because we're nice and not pushy. That's what boys do. We wait in our nice frock with our hands in our lap to be chosen, to be seen. Well, newsflash. That idea is as outmoded as floppy disks in computers. And for some of you that are saying, what the heck is a floppy disk? That's exactly my point. I know you've worked hard to get to your position. Whether you've studied and got qualifications and or worked your way up the corporate ladder, it's your time now. And therefore, there is nothing to be gained by hiding out, to be hoping to be picked, to be hoping that someone will see, to be hoping that somebody will speak up for you. Yes, all of those things can happen, but why not help the situation along by doing some of it yourself too? Presenting the image that you want to be seen, talking about who you are. As I said, unless you live some sort of hybrid life where you have one personality at work and one personality at home, and I know some people do, and they behave quite differently at home to how they behave at work. For me, I find it quite hard work to do that, but I get it. For some people, that's how they do it. So I just want to ask some more questions around the not speaking up for yourself. If you were in a shop or, I know, in a bar, and you receive bad service, would you say anything? If your friend or your spouse or someone you is dear to you says something you don't like or they upset you, would you say anything? Or do you go into your head about, well, I can't talk, I can't say anything because? And again, it's about this being a leader in your own life. So I want to know, what stops you from being that person? To be a leader in your own life is about setting positive, intentional behavior. Nothing more than that. Saying what you mean. Not being aggressive or passive aggressive, which often is, I think, the worst, because aggressive, we all know where we are with that. Passive aggressive on the surface looks nice. It's okay. But really what we're saying, I'm fine. And clearly you're not fine, but you say I'm fine. And we all know that because we've all done that one. When you're silently stewing and your face is saying one thing, we're saying, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's okay. It's okay. So the person knows something is wrong, but you're not saying anything. So now you want them to read your mind. And depending on the patience of the person, they may think, you know what? I can't be bothered. So wouldn't it be easier to say calmly and clearly what you need to? I have had a problem with the service I've received today. Can I give you some feedback? Clear, that's calm. We're not shouting and getting upset, because some people are either passive aggressive or 0-60 and they're off and they're shouting. So therefore, again, they've lost ground. And the same if something's going on between you and your partner or your friend. Can't you just say, there's something, you know, that's, I don't think something, you know, is right between us at the moment. Can we talk about it? And also say, when would be a good time? Not as in, can we talk about it now? Because maybe might not be the time to do that because you're already in your head about it. Make it non-confrontational. Be calm. Be open. Express what's going on for you. Don't make the other person wrong, as in, I'm not happy with you, you make me unhappy, therefore. And we, again, we've all done those types of conversations where we've started in that way. It's not going to end well, trust me. And those are different circumstances to being at work, but it's the same about being confident and expressing what you need to say. And if you notice my voice, I tried to use tonality so you could hear the difference between just calmly saying what I needed to and getting upset about it. And that's the point, that often that's what we do. So in not speaking up, it costs us, whether at work, whether personally. And you know what? We're bigger than that. We don't need to do the sulking or the being shy because, you know, I was brought up well and I don't really want to talk about myself. We're grown-ups. Most children will tell you what they want pretty quickly. If they're babies and they can't speak, they cry. And they will have varying types of crying till you understand that I am not happy with you. So they've mastered the art of telling what's wrong. Toddlers, once they've got a voice, will tell you. Maybe something's a bit too sharp for your liking, But because they have no filter and nobody has started to program them and tell them, you can't do this and you can't do that, they just say, I want to do this. I don't like that. Not, are you okay? I'm fine. How many kids do you know talk about, I'm fine? Unless they've learned that as behavior. We learned that to say I'm fine because we don't want to be troublesome. We don't want to be confrontational. We don't want anybody to feel upset. So we'll just take the upset ourselves. Shall I say this word? Martyr? Yep, I've done it. I'm sure you've done it too. So I won't say what's wrong. I'll just suffer silently. It's martyrdom. Nothing. There's nothing positive here. Nothing positive at all. So what I want you to see is that not speaking up costs you. Hiding out costs you. And as I said, we have one life and it's now. So let's do this. Not being visible and taking ownership of who you are is part of this thing I talk that you will see, and I talk about playing small. And I think playing small keeps you stuck. Because deliberately think that we do this, but many of us don't know who we are. And if you ask, what do I mean by that? I meet and work with a lot of women and some men, as I said. And they all tell me about themselves and tell me about the work they do, and I may have seen their CV. And I'm thinking, wow, fantastic. Gosh, look what they're doing. But they talk about it as if it doesn't matter, as if it's not important. They're managing teams, organizations, departments, doing great things. And either they don't recognize what they're doing, or they don't see it as a success. They don't acknowledge it. And often I think that as they went along their way, they didn't stop to acknowledge and think, yeah, I did that. Let me just take some water. So often, rather than say they did that, they'll tell me their team did that. And that's noble, and I get that because, you know, I'm a team player. However, here's the thing for you. You led the team that did that. If your team hadn't been given some clear direction and leadership, they might not have got there. Or not in the way that you'd have liked them to. And we've all seen teams where the leader's not terribly good and nobody's really working with the team and helping them set objectives and keeping everybody on track. And so therefore we don't get to the end, or we get to the end and it's really, really painful. Really, really, really painful. And maybe we've overrun on the budget. There's lots of recriminations, and it's an unpleasant experience. So if you got there on time and on budget, and your team did that, then I guess what? You did that too. So I understand the modesty, but I want you to own it. Because guess what? When you go for your next job, or when you have your review, your team aren't there in the room with you. So you have to say, we did this. You can say, we did this. I led the team. We did X, Y, and Z. But I did this. We reduced costs by. We produced this result. The project came in on time. We recruited 1,500 people. Whatever it was you were going to do, we did this. As I said, there is nothing wrong with being modest. But just get some sort of perspective on this. Because I'm not absolutely sure that when you say this, it's because you're afraid to say, well, I did this. And again, I blame our upbringing for this. Too many of us are triggered by words like power, influence, success, failure, and I won't forget the one other one, money, but I'm not talking about that one tonight. Power, influence, ambition, success, and failure. I've said them all again. How does that feel for you? Are you ambitious? Do you want success? Are you afraid of failure? Do you see yourself as powerful or influential? I know when they're just words, but I know when I first started out, the idea of being seen as powerful or influential, whoa, no way, because it's got such bad connotations. Oh, that's how we've been led to believe, to be seen to be powerful, but why would you want to be seen that way? And as for ambitious in a woman, whew. I have witnessed where people have said, yeah, she's ambitious, and then they've pulled a face, as if somehow we're saying that, yeah, she has babies and she eats them. It's disgusting, right? So why would you pull the same face about somebody being ambitious? You may well be powerful, and it's not about the fact that you want to rule the world and you want world domination, but the fact of the matter is, the work that you do is important. The results that you achieve are important to the organization, to the company, to whomever is the person you're delivering for, or whatever you're delivering for. That makes you powerful. That makes you important. If the fact that the CEO, the board of directors, depending on where you are in the organization, picks up the phone and says, can you pop in? We need your help on this. They want your brain, your contribution, and you're the person they call to say, we have this problem. We want to do this. What do you think? And you say, yep, you can do this, but if you do that, this will mean this. If you don't do that, it'll mean that. And they go, oh, great, thanks. And you're gone again. That's important. That's influential. That's powerful. The fact is that they paused and asked you for your contribution is important. And so I need you to recognize the fact that you are important and your contribution, who you are, matters. And so therefore the results you achieve matter also. Mary, quoting her, absolutely says, who am I to be fabulous? Well, I say, who are you not to be? I don't want to see any more CVs. People are denying, forgetting, or just downright playing down their success. We all need to get past that. Playing small is not attractive. Let's be clear about that. It's modest at best, but seriously, quite ridiculous in other ways. There's no point in pretending that you aren't CEO. There's no point pretending that because of your work we have saved how many million pounds, dollars, whatever. There is no point denying the fact that your company has now just done this, that, or the other. I'm choosing not to be too specific here, but you get the point. You know what it is that you have done. You know how valuable you are. And it doesn't matter where you are in the organization. We all have value. I choose those because of the people I work with. But nevertheless, though, whether or not you happen to be the executive assistant to three vice presidents and you manage their diaries and ensure that they arrive in India, California, and England on time, unscathed, with paperwork, hotels booked, in the right place, their families moved, whatever it is, it makes you invaluable. So don't play that down. Because what I understand from that is, you're very organized, you're probably very calm, regardless of what's going on. You're methodical, and so therefore, all of those things are valuable. So it doesn't matter who you are, or what you work, think about you to the organization. So therefore, that's what I want to see in your CVs, and that's what I want you to talk about when you're talking about yourself. So therefore, we can stop this idea, I will just say less of myself. I will describe myself as less. Nobody is less. Nobody. You certainly not less. Am I? CEO, head of department, EA, sister, wife, friend, auntie, son. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're back in the office,
What have I done? What have I achieved? Who am I when I'm being that way? It's part of your armory. See if you can start to release that particular behavior. How can you be confident with it? For a lot of people, it may not be easy to go from one place, from 0 to 60 in one go. However, a bit like driving a car, you can put your foot gently. We all know what happens if you put your foot on the gas really quickly, you leap forward. So let's put our foot on the gas gently. Eventually, we can't drive us with our foot and forward. Give it a bit more pressure to keep up with the traffic, but I think you're getting my drift here. So I want you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. But what I want you to understand is words like successful, influential will trigger you now. And there'll be other words that trigger you. But the more you get comfortable being triggered, the less it stops you from doing what you're doing. And sometimes you can notice that you're being triggered by them, but still be okay about it. Still triggered by them. Not because of the connotations, but I can't quite see myself enough in that role. So I, as I said, get comfortable with being uncomfortable about it. Know your task. Back about speaking up and asking for what you want, expressing what you need calmly and clearly. So whether it's saying to your spouse or to your friend, "Can we talk?" Whether it's expressing yourself in a meeting, whether it's saying in the shop, "I wasn't happy with the service." To lead this, if it's talking to my team and I need to say, you know what, we need to think about how we're doing this, and there's some tough choices we have to make, and how can we do this together? All of that stuff. Get comfortable hearing the sound of your own voice. And I know, as I've said, that people saying there are those who love the sound of their own voice, but there are those who love the sound of their own voice, but actually, again, my point is they're doing what they think is best because that's what they know what to do. So let's not give them a hard time. But think about ourselves here. I want you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. It will be the initial discomfort. As we start to discover value. So if you are the VP, the CEO, who's doing marvelous things and is wanting the next job, but is struggling to say, "This is me," I want you to get more comfortable. And see how you're getting on. Sorry about that. I had to take a technical break. Hopefully you're back with us. So, let's talk about getting out of your own way. Because this is what we've been leading up to. The idea of being comfortable, being uncomfortable. Getting out of your own way and finding your voice and expressing your needs. Being uncomfortable with yourself will eventually help you to get out of your own way. Now, I'm not saying stay in a permanent state of discomfort. What I am saying is just understand that as you grow, there will be these moments of discomfort. And getting out of your own way, I say this because there is discrimination at all levels, in the companies, in life, and for a variety of reasons. But you don't have to help the situation along by not standing up for yourself. Not expressing what you need. By not expressing what you need. And so you have a voice. Ready to speak. Meetings. In situations where you need to. And express your opinion. If you need to be advanced, do that. Because you say and you think you might be judged. Go with it, as I talked about, imperfect action. Don't depend on someone else to state your case. Because as I said, what if they do a bad job? Ready to be yourself at home, personally and professionally. But I don't mind you, but I realize I haven't done this. If you wanted to call into the show and do so, the studio number 6 7 6 7 9. And of course, hop onto my Facebook page and send me a message. If I haven't done that again, I'm being honest. So I'm doing that now. That's clear about what you need or what you need them to do. They are not my, you're not a reader, they're not a reader. And if all of this feels a lot too much, support. I've been where you are, got a job, and I love time through redundancy. Before I understood about speaking myself. Now I understand about owning my power, but it took me a while to own it. I got things that go through mine, it went through mine, it went still when certain situations occur for me. All I know is it's about stepping up and stepping out and being willing to extend comfort zone. And the thing with extend them, you can't go back. If it has made you like, via my Facebook page, Beverly Bramwell, www.facebook.com/. What you want and help with it. That's all that'll happen going on for you. And we'll discuss children. Is with for about 20 minutes, just me getting to and understand what's going on. What you want and what I do is a match. I want to think about where we've been today and whether you took phone up me, think about what could you put in today. So, tomorrow, next week, because I believe action is to be taken straight away, not in a month's time. What part of your job or your life are you not speaking up? And to rectify our situation, on the I'm fine. Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. All that does is make the other person feel like that way. Let's not do the, I want to talk about it now. For the next time we'll be that's much easier. Okay, we don't have the let's go off and have a right time. What I would say is tend to want, because you really are triggered by what's gone on. I suggest you step away clearly. Send them an email. Most of the pages for websites. Kind of about and at the same time, not have to lose our temper. So it doesn't have to be on off at somebody. There is a middle ground. And what I want you to do this week is practice that. And those who know the factuals about putting your hand up and leaning in. And it isn't. Now, if you can't do the meeting, I want to speak. Let's talk about this. Must raise that point. That person's just said that. I need to respond to that. Or maybe I need some clarity. Could you explain a bit more about that? I guarantee if you're asking for clarity, they haven't explained it well enough. Also, you're not the only person seeking clarity, but they're often in the whole place in their head about, I'll look foolish, people will judge me, so I'll just pretend I understand and maybe I'll work it out afterwards. So why not just ask now? And just go for it and say, can I just have a bit more clarity about that? And then think about playing small. Excuse me. Where are you playing small? Why you're doing it isn't important. Where are you doing it? Do you track your achievements? I know that might seem a little bit like, really? But if you are applying for jobs or you have a six-month review, whatever happens in your professional circumstance, if you've tracked them, kept a note of them, then you can recall them when you have those conversations with your manager, with the director, when you're writing your CV. I did this. This happened. Sometimes what you do may not impact the bottom line. But what you do may impact someone's life. It makes it run more easily. So do not deny anything that you do just because you think it doesn't matter. Because I always say, if you stop doing it, what would be the impact? And if you can think about that, then you know for well how valuable you are. So there is no reason for any of us to play small, to deny who we are, to deny our contribution as being valid. As I said, you are as important as the next person in the organization. But until you speak up, until you acknowledge that, who knows? And I'll talk for a second about getting comfortable being uncomfortable. It will, all of this will be uncomfortable at first. There will be discomfort because it's not your usual way of being. You have happily or unhappily gone along a particular path and have acted in a certain sort of way because you thought this is what you should do. You've denied the fact that you have qualifications, you've worked hard, as if that didn't matter. It's like you've thrown it all in the bin and you're acting from a place of, I don't know who I am, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't matter, and I have nothing to say. All of which is untrue, but I get the fact that's what we do, and I get the fact that's where you've been acting from. So again, what small thing can you do this week, next week at the latest, to change that, to rectify that? I guarantee taking just one small action will make a difference. For some of you, it isn't the action, it's the mindset. How you think about yourself, how you think about the situation. Yep, those, that inner voice, that inner critic will be running all sorts of stories. But can you get still and listen to it and understand, is this true? Will I really look foolish? Will I really be judged? Will anybody even remember? And working from that place, can you start to think about, what do I need to do that's different to what I'm doing now? What do I need to think about that I'm doing that I need to stop doing? We can always find something because we've all agreed we're not perfect. We are all flawed. So it's not about improving yourself till you become perfect, but just saying, what can I stop doing now so that I can move forward a bit better, that I can stop playing small, that I can look like I'm interested in leading the next project, that I can look like I'm ready for what's going to happen next. Think about what you've been doing. How has it served you? If it hasn't served you, then maybe it's time to stop doing it. And it's really that clear cut. Waiting to be selected is your way of operating at work. How's that worked out for you so far? If waiting for somebody else to say something good about you or great about you is your way, how's that working out for you? If you stand at the back and that somebody will see you, really? Do you think that's going to work? I'm pretty valuable to the organization, and what I do makes a difference. What about from that space of that's who I am? Okay, maybe the world isn't ready for yet, but think about how you are and who you are and what you're doing and the difference you're making. And if I can work from that space, how else could I be? Who do I need to be if I'm doing that? You need to be you. You need to own you and own who you are. It really is that simple. But acknowledge that I have a contribution to make. It's important. And that's the place I operate from every time. So as I've said, if that has made you start thinking about that you're running fear and you need help to get past some of those conversations you're having which aren't serving you, and just success triggers you. If you're having difficulty acknowledging that you're fantastic and fabulous and who you're not to be, then I suggest you contact me via my Facebook page, facebook.com/BevBramwell, so that we can set up a time to have that. No more than 20 minutes, just to see if you're a match for what I do and I can help you. And maybe for the first time, you can start to feel something going on for you and where you are going. Who are you and what do you want? Questions I like to ask. And time more able to have that conversation about lightning and the coming options I offer. See, nothing happens in that first instance. Happy to be able for a person for you. You may not even need coming at all, and have that conversation to get ahead and get into action. And today, right now, wherever you are, think about what action could I be taking today to make a difference, to stop playing small, stand out, to own who I am. What could I be doing today? How could I be expressing who I am, what my needs are, so that I get it? As I said with the babies, and I'm always going to talk about babies because they're just so easy to talk about. They know about what they want. Children are very clear about what they want. Before they start being told otherwise, they're pretty clear about what they want. They are ready to speak up for themselves, to say what they mean. They have no choice. We must be aware of which ones you're operating from and how they are or are not serving you. So, www.facebook.com/BevBramwell. The link will also be in the post below if you're a lovely player. As always, I love talking to you. I love talking about this subject, and I love talking to you about this because I think it's so important. I think the foundations of what supports you in your work. about being and what you need, and being about who you are and what you've done and what you want to do. I want you to remember that embracing ambition is important, because a life half lived is not living at all. I'm Beverly Bramwell, and you've been listening to Embrace Your Ambition. And if you want to connect with me in the first instance, I have a group, and you can guess the title. The group is called Embrace Your Ambition. And I hope you've enjoyed listening. I just want to say thank you.